is Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service. We come to the end of our sermon series entitled Healing and Wholeness. Our speaker today is Edward Hoskin, a Methodist lay reader. The talk is entitled Healing as a Lifestyle. The readings this week are taken from Isaiah 35 verses 1 to 6 and Luke 4 verses 16 to 27. You can watch the whole service on our YouTube channel, which is linked on our website. The first reading is taken from Isaiah 35, verses 1 to 6.
The wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the excellence of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the excellency of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful-hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like the deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For waters shall burst forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. This is the word of the Lord.
This reading is taken from Luke chapter 4, verses 16 to 21. Jesus went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him.
Good morning. That wonderful imagery in Isaiah, I've chosen to put crocuses because if you're using the Church Bible, the NIV, it talks about crocuses. But as Johnny read, it talks about roses, which is not uncommon. Other Bibles also use roses. Another version of the Bible, the Jerusalem Bible, uses the word jonquil, which isn't something I'm familiar with, but it's a sort of old word for, I think, a sort of daffodil-type flower. The point is, it's the imagery that's important, not the precise words. And so choose your own flower, is what I say. Whatever flower makes you happy. You know, but equally, there may be other things that make you happy, and maybe flowers don't really sort of do it for you. So if there's other things that you might want to think about giving you pleasure, then choose to use your words in the context of this imagery of desert, wilderness, and abundance. This contrast between struggle and vibrancy, between drought and abundance. So maybe there are other things which do it for you better in terms of thinking perhaps in your lives, where there are things which you know are wrong in your life, that things which might be sort of the drought, the desert part of your life. What is it that would actually make you leap for joy, as it said in that, leap for joy like a deer? So that sort of idea in your minds, that sort of imagery, this is what God is saying to us. Through the prophet Isaiah, God is saying he wants us to turn whatever is like drought and desolation in our lives into something joyous. Turn our lives such that we want to leap like a deer with joy. It doesn't have to be a crocus. It could be other things. So that's the whole context of this whole idea of healing and wholeness, that God wants us to experience that joy of our life being improved, our life being made whole, such that we have that joy and that vibrancy. So we've had a five-week series. This is the end of this five-week series. I'm not going to try and recap all of those, but the beginning of the introduction, we talked about how God's desire for the whole of creation, that it's not just individuals, but to put whole creation right is the whole idea of wholeness. And then we went on to talk about the fruits of the Spirit and the ministry of the Spirit working within our lives. Then a bit about the physical world, where I'm about to be a physical and inner healing, our minds and our bodies, how that needs to be healed, how we can bring wholeness into that. And then last week, Fabian talked about the spiritual world more. And he introduced this idea of reductionism and sensationalism, those two sort of extremes, that we shouldn't reduce our ideas of the spirit into something to sort of flatten it and make it less important. And actually, we shouldn't make it too sensational, the idea of evil spirits. You don't dwell on this fact of spirits constantly in upon us, but somehow finding a medium. So today we're talking about how do we make this into our lifestyle? It occurred to me we've used lots of different words in that series, and different words may resonate with you more than others. Maybe you're focusing more on certain words there. I'm not going to read all those words, but maybe that we come from this point of understanding that the world is broken, that there's imperfection in the world, in our lives, and we move towards this idea of having a sense of the grace of God, giving us freedom, giving us the fruits of the Spirit. So I say different words there, and maybe you are more in a position of considering that you feel broken, that you feel guilty, and that you therefore really, really, really have a real sense of wanting grace and freedom and forgiveness. So certain words resonate. But what resonates particularly with me is the whole idea of this reality. We've talked a number of times in this series about the reality of where creation is, the reality of what the state the world is in, the reality of sin, the reality of the evil that is in the world, the reality of living in this real world. And we need to acknowledge that there is this brokenness and there is a need to move on. So that, say, resonates particularly. And also the reality of our faith, that we need to trust in God. We've talked about trust, to have that trust in Jesus, in the message of Jesus, in the message of God, that he wants us to have that joy of leaping like a deer. And if we have faith to approach God, to approach Jesus, to have faith to call the Holy Spirit into our lives such that we can experience these things. And so our faith is our path to, from the desert, if you like, to the blossoming of the crocuses. And so we're here to talk about lifestyle today. This little picture of lifestyle, it can't be complete in all the different aspects of what you might think of in terms of your lifestyle. But I want you to perhaps just spend a moment to think about what dominates your lifestyle, what are the different parts, the constituent parts of your lifestyle, and you maybe focus on various aspects. But also to consider whether your lifestyle is something you have chosen or whether it's just evolved, whether it's a lifestyle you've inherited from past generations, whether it's just something you've sort of slipped into, or have you made a conscious decision for your lifestyle to include certain elements of those sort of things. And, you know, I'm not going to go through all those lists of things there, but you know, you can see there, there's, you know, if your life might be dominated by using a computer a lot, or you might go to a lot of parties, or you might be very focused on money, you know, on the positive sides, you know, maybe there's the Bible there, or the church, or helping people. And not all of these images, not all of these pictures are necessarily good or bad, negative or positive. Some can be both. So, for example, I don't want to dwell on this particularly, but a glass of wine is a nice thing, it's a good thing, but if you have too much of it, it can be negative. On the other aspect, just looking at the bottom right-hand corner where someone's putting their arm around someone, caring could be something you might choose to do, but for many people, it's something that has become almost thrust upon them. They are responsible for their relatives, for their friends, they have to care. So I'm not saying it's negative, but I'm just saying there's two aspects. Sometimes it's a choice, sometimes it's something that you inevitably have to live with. And there are many lifestyle magazines. You may, I don't know, may read lifestyle magazines. They often talk about lifestyle choices. But how much of this is choice? Again, some of it we can't choose. We can't choose our physical makeup. We can't choose our genetic background, whether you're tall or short or whatever. We can't necessarily choose how fit we are. We can't choose the illnesses we choose to have or the frailties we choose to have. Things happen in life. And again, it's that reality of life. We are living in the real world, not always choice. And yet there are choices in terms of, again, just at the sort of physical level, we can choose what to eat, we can choose what we might do to help ourselves get fit. And again, it's that reality of realizing some things are choices, some things we have to face. But what we can choose is how we react to that. We can choose to how we react to where we find ourselves in the real world. So I say we talk about how we react to that, and we can choose to perhaps be physically fitter, we can choose what we eat and drink, and it's the same with our spiritual side. We can choose whether we exercise our prayer habits, we can choose whether to spend more time studying God's word, we can choose whether to use our spiritual gifts to help others, we can choose whether to devote time to silent reflection and open ourselves to spiritual direction. So in terms of thinking of healing as a lifestyle, there are choices. Choices as a matter of the lifestyle we choose, choices in terms of how we use the gifts that God has given us to help others in their own healing. Just spend a little moment looking at the historical perspective. In the very early church, in New Testament times, in the early church, in the time of the Acts of the Apostles, healing was very much a natural expression. It was a natural expression of the proclamation of the gospel. The fact that the apostles were healing people was taken as an obvious evidence of Christ's power in this new religion, if you like. Healing was integrated with evangelism, with hospitality, and with the mercy ministries. And then as you go forward into sometimes what's called the post-Constantinian time, the 4th century, when the church was becoming established as the Church of Rome, there was a gradual decline of and theological neglect, and the church became more institutional, became less natural, if you like, and healing was often shifted to particular rites, the sacramental rites of a healing anointing of the sick, rather than it being a widespread ministry of all believers. And then moving into medieval times, we think of perhaps pilgrimages and monastic orders, very much, again, an organized type of religion, but focused perhaps on relics and saints, and they became something that you sort of almost put on a pedestal. It was something that was focused for certain people at certain times, rather than the norm in normal everyday living. And we think perhaps of particularly of sort of monastic orders, things like the Rule of Benedict, very much a guideline on a life of prayer, of work, working in the community, of obedience, of humility, of hospitality. So again, aspects of healing in terms of hospitality for others and caring for the sick, but very much an ordered way of life. And moving on to the Reformation, there was almost a reaction in the Reformation against some of those things, against relics, against pilgrimages perhaps, more superstition, or thinking of these things as being a superstition, and a downplaying of these miraculous healings that have been known of in what might have been thought of as the apostolic age. And reformers like Martin Luther, he advocated hygiene and the use of physicians for physical ailments, whilst also believing in faith. He very much said there needs to be a practical where we help ourselves by using the gifts that God has given to physicians and to doctors to help us in our physical healing. And so the shift was viewed that there was a combination then of using the gifts that God has given those around us, as well as relying on prayer and perhaps miracles, as might have been thought of in the past. And then in the 18th and 19th century, we think very much of the other churches that started to the nonconformist sort of churches and that sort of thing, who were very much focused on social reforms at a time of child labor and poverty, and all those difficulties of those times, such as bad housing. Their review is very much on social reforms. Again, that's all part of healing and wholeness, you know, helping people in their distress. And I came across the idea that the Salvation Army had a slogan which was soup, soap, and salvation. Again, that combination, that link with reality, that people needed soup, they needed cleanliness, but they also needed salvation. So we're back to that sort of idea of working in the real world. Soup, soap, and salvation. I love that phrase. But what about today? Where are we today? You might think of charismatic and Pentecostal movements where healing is returning to be central in the life of many churches. particularly in those areas of rapid growth of the church, in areas such as Africa and Asia, where healing is integral to discipleship and outreach. And so maybe it is that we need a combination of all of these. Maybe in terms of us today, we don't want to throw out the history. We can focus on some of the history. We can perhaps try to come back to a more natural expression of healing in our everyday lives, but also perhaps benefit from the idea of some sort of order, some sort of discipline, like the monastic discipline. So again, there's a balance of how we mix various aspects of our approach to healing and our lifestyle. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. So we heard this text. This text was obviously Jesus reading from the prophecy of Isaiah. And the particular words I want to focus on here are that Jesus said that to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. So Isaiah said that in about 500 BC, 600 BC. That again, Isaiah was proclaiming God's message, saying that God wants there to be this year of the Lord's favor. And this was very much an idea of restoration of people, restoration of the people of the time. It parallels with the idea of a Jubilee year. If you know the Jubilee year idea in the Old Testament, where debts were cancelled, slaves were freed, and the oppressed found release. And so Jesus is using those words, saying, Isaiah prophesied these things 500 years ago. This is what God wants for us. And today, and Jesus said, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. He's announcing the fact that Jesus has come to proclaim these things, to bring this good news to those in need. But let's focus on that word today, because I've said about the sort of the past of Isaiah in the 6th century BC, of Jesus 2,000 years ago, and today, this is a continuation of Christ's mission. As Fabian said earlier, we have a duty, a responsibility, that Jesus had this mission to the poor, to those prisoners who needed freedom, to the recovery of sight from the blind, to set the oppressed. The oppressed covers such a wide number of people, wide number of different aspects of how people feel oppressed. That Jesus has come to declare that scripture has been fulfilled today. And I think he said that as today, 2,000 years ago. We can still say that today, in this current age, we can still say that we are proclaiming the year of the Lord's favor, that the Lord wants us to be released from the various oppressions. The Lord wants us to continue our duty, with Christ's mission. I think it's a danger that when we think of healing, that we think first of ourselves. Clearly, we need healing ourselves, and it's only right that we look for healing to bring some sense of wholeness to our own lives. Danger that we focus too much on ourselves and don't think about the healing that is surely needed in the community as around us. Can we feel whole if we know that people around us are suffering? And it's not just in our communities, in our nation, but it's also the whole world. And in Romans chapter 8, Paul says, we know that the whole creation has been groaning in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. And again, I use those words as Paul used them present time 2,000 years ago. Present time today, the earth is still groaning in pains of childbirth. We know the world is not perfect. We know there's so much that the world needs our focus on in terms of bringing wholeness and healing. And so again, we have this idea that this is a continuum. It's a process. Whole of creation is in this intense longing for that anticipation of some final and glorious revelation of God's God adopting us as all as his children. We can think of it as it coming in fullness when Christ comes again. But we have a mission and a responsibility to work along that path, to work towards that. Bit of a jump now. When I was a child, I can remember being taught that if someone says to you, how do you do? You don't say, oh, I'm all right, thank you. But you say, how do you do? It always seemed odd to me that traditionally, if someone says, how do? You say, how do you do back? Originally, obviously, it was meant to be, how are you? I'm concerned about how you feel. How do you do? Yeah, I'm fine, thank you, whatever. How are you? You know, so it used to be, I imagine, in the, you know, really going back hundreds of years, a concern for people, but it became just, I forgot the phrase I was going to use now, but it just became an acknowledgement that someone was there and you're sort of saying hello. You weren't really asking them how they were. And I think this is something that we need to consider. When we're considering our attitude to wholeness, to healing, do we really care for people? Is it just a glib, oh, hello, you know, and pass on? Or do you really ask someone how they are? And we often sort of say, oh, sorry, I was supposed to come up. How do you do is the response. Often people say, okay, you okay? You just say, oh, that's fine. You know, do you answer or do you say, oh, yeah, okay? And people often say, oh, all right. You know, but it's not necessarily asking people in a sincere way how they are. Now, it's not always appropriate. You know, we can't always be sort of at every moment in time. If you go into a shop and have a deep discussion with whoever's serving you, you know, so how they are and how they got on last week and how their children and, you know, have they had a good time on holiday. You know, it's not always appropriate to have an in-depth discussion. But I think it says something about our attitude when we approach people. If you're actually deeply concerned about how they are, I want to introduce the word shalom. I'm sure you've all come across the word shalom. Jews today, when they greet someone, and indeed when they say goodbye, it's both a greeting and a leaving word you might use the word shalom. And we often say, well, shalom means peace. Well, it means much more than that. It really is saying, may you be full of well-being. May you have health and prosperity. In the Gospels, although the Gospels were written in Greek, Jesus, we know, was most likely spoken Aramaic. And the words Jesus would have used in Aramaic, I understand, is shlama. It's not quite shalom, but it's shlama. Hebrew and Aramaic are very similar. They're both sort of similar root in language. So you might like to think, well, Jesus actually used the word shalom. And shalom, I say, I'm not saying it has a fuzzy definition, but you can interpret it in so many different ways, in this fullness of desire, fullness of wanting to wish someone completeness, of rest, of wholeness, prosperity, all those words there. You're wanting someone to have tranquility, feel safe, feel secure. It's more than just a glib, how are you? It's, I wish all this upon you. I wish you to have this wholeness, this satisfaction. What it doesn't say there is it's rooted in the idea that you want this satisfaction in knowing God, that God knows you and has this fullness of desire to bring these things to you. And we know that in John's Gospel, Jesus says, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give to you." And it's very likely when he said that in Aramaic, he'd have used this word shlama, shalom. Very similar words. It's not just peace in an absence of war or anguish. It's the wholeness, it's the completeness, it's prosperity, it's the fullness of life in all the ways you could possibly imagine. Multidimensional. And in Paul's conclusion to the letter of Thessalonians, he says, "Now may the Lord of peace himself bring you peace at all times and in every way." And again, it's this idea of in every way. It's not just an absence of hostility or absence of war, but it's this wholeness of fulfillment in your lives in every way. In our lives, in our church, in our groups, in our relationships, in our workplaces, in our homes, in our community, how many more have I got? In our world. So again, it's this idea, it's not just individual, it's not just wishing you as an individual to have wholeness, it's not just wishing you as an individual to have peace. But in all the aspects of your lives, we're back to this whole idea of lifestyle, in all the aspects of your lifestyle, are you complete? Are you satisfied? Are you at peace with contentment? And then that spreads out in the communities that you live and work in the church, in your workplaces, in your home life. I haven't put home there. Oh, I have put homes. Sorry, I have put homes. So all these different aspects. It's multidimensional. It's continual. One thing I haven't said, I probably had it in my notes and I've passed by it, is that healing is not a one-off thing. It doesn't just happen once and say, well, I'm healed and I move on. The healing of body, of soul, of spirit, it never quite gets to that perfection, but it's a journey, it's a continuum where you work towards it. that you desire to be more whole and more complete than you were. And God, with faith in God, God will give you that. With trust in Jesus, he will help you. In asking the Holy Spirit to come into your lives, he will, the Spirit will give you that power, that sense of to change your lives, to consider what choices you make in your lifestyle. So the words I leave you with are the ideas of choice. The ideas of choice of lifestyle, the ideas of the reality of the world you live in. We can't change everything in the world immediately, but we can change little bits of our lifestyle. We can change, we can choose to react differently in our communities. We can choose to care for people in a different way. And so it's our role to continue Christ's mission, our role to bear witness to his healing work in our lives, to share our stories of how God has enriched our lives, and to respond to the needs of those around us, to respond to needs through prayer, and to be guided and equipped by the Holy Spirit to help bring more wholeness and healing to those in our world. And when we sometimes use the world to mean not the whole globe, but our little world we live in, the little world, the community in which we live and dwell. So let us pray. We thank you, Father, for your message that you wish the deserts of our lives to be abundant and blooming and joyous. Help us, we pray, to sincerely wish for your Spirit, your Holy Spirit, to mingle with our spirit, to strengthen our desires, to strengthen our resources, and to give us that encouragement that not only can we enhance our wholeness in our lives, the healing of our lives, but in doing so, we can help those around us to spread your message that you wish us all to have life in all of its abundance. Amen.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website www.stjamestaunton.co.uk and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.